Hey, what's up, kiddies? This is Bill from OutsideTheCinema.com, and you're listening to the Gore Press Gorecast. It fucking sucks, but deal with it.
In the most high name of the most high spirit, in the name of the most high line of Judea, Haile Selassie, in the name of the most high Duvalier and the Tantant Makut, I command you, awaken! Awaken! What happened here?
Give me a break. This is not Friday the 13th part Infinity here.
Right, it's Thursday morning. I've got a really hot cup of coffee in my Gremlins mug. It must be another early morning Gorecast experiment.
I hope it's not Thursday morning, because I should be in the car on the way to Manchester right now.
Wait, what day is it? it's Wednesday. It's definitely
Please
Wednesday.
Please tell me it's Wednesday.
It's definitely Wednesday.
Good, good.
See, this is how early it is.
Very
it's
early.
Not that early,
it's,
really.
It's quite early. It's early for me.
Yeah, it's early for me as well. It's early for me to be doing stuff. I'm normally awake, but not really doing stuff at this point.
Yeah.
You listen to the Gore Press Gorecast. I'm Dangerous Jamie.
And I'm Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm tired, surprisingly. Ooh, more awake than
too.
I thought I would be, though. Cup
Good.
Of tea in hand. Sort of raring to go.
Today we're going to do our final Horror Behind Bars epic.
Yeah, which
might in the shape of
not
go on, sorry.
Actually be a horror? I don't know. I think we were toeing the line with this one.
Yeah, I mean it's a gore film, that counts.
Yeah.
So we're going to cover the story of Ricky, Ricky O.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, instead of doing our usual retrospective, we're going to take a look at a television show that is close to your heart and one that I've just started watching, Todd and the Book of Pure Evil.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about Todd and the Book of Pure Evil, Sarah.
Well, oh god, I don't know, you caught me off guard now. I wasn't expecting that. Well, it's a Canadian, would you call it a sitcom?
I guess.
It's formulaic to the extreme. In the way that sitcoms are. It's a Canadian show about this stoner metal kid called Todd and his friend Curtis, and he stumbles upon a Book of Pure Evil, which is quite obviously Necronomicon influenced, and like bad shit happens every week and people die and stuff, and there's a pesky guidance counsellor and some other characters thrown in there.
Yeah, Jason Mewes plays a sort of
wise janitor
with his blood mop.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that covers it.
Yeah, and it's just pretty great.
I mean, it's okay.
All right, you're only on
episode.
Right? Did you read my review though?
No.
You didn't.
No, I didn't because I wanted to watch it and I was worried there might be spoilers and stuff.
Mm.
I'm big on spoilers at the moment.
I don't put spoilers in my reviews. Just in the Gorecast. All over the shop. I wrote about the fact that I started watching it. I watched the first episode, kind of went, what the fuck is this? Not convinced. Then kind of got about halfway through, I guess, to where you are, and started to quite like it.
Right.
And then by the end of it, I found myself going, actually love that show now. Really love it. But it crept up on me. It's definitely a grower.
Yeah, I mean, I don't not like it. I mean, I like it. It's good. Mm. But, I mean, the last two episodes I watched were essentially the same episode.
Which two were they?
The the fat one and the gay one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're quite early in then. Isn't that like episode 4?
Maybe. I can't find the folder where I've got them to check. But...
when you say folder, you mean DVD case, right?
Yes. Yes, I do. Where is it? But yeah, I mean, it's fun and it's funny. I just finished watching Holliston, which is the Adam Green, Joe Lynch, which is like a sitcom with horror-based stuff involved.
I could not get past the first episode of that.
Could you not?
And I love Adam Green and Joe Lynch. I just couldn't do it. I thought it was terrible. I mean, I know it's kind of supposed to be.
It's very low budget, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, anything with a laugh track, that kills it for me, generally. Nothing worse than a sitcom with a laugh track. How many episodes are there? It's a short series, isn't it?
Six.
Six episodes. And does it get better? Would you say persevere after the first one?
I mean, it's all pretty much the same.
Okay, so no.
But, I mean, I like it. I mean, they're terrible actors.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the writing's pretty poor, but there's just something about it that I like. But we're not here to talk about Holliston. So, yeah, I got done with Holliston.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I want some more horror comedy TV. I know that you've been going on about this, Todd and the Monkey Pure Evil, so I thought, okay, I'll give it a go. I did. Have you seen... was it based on, like, a short film or something?
I think it was, but I haven't seen the short. I don't know much about that, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think you're right. I think it was.
Fair enough. I don't like the character of Todd very much.
Okay.
As in, like, a lot of, like, as you say, sitcoms...
Uh-huh.
There are... I always think that the main character is kind of the weak link. Like, if you look at How I Met Your Mother and...
I'd rather not.
I don't really watch sitcoms, but... like, Ted is definitely the weak link in How I Met Your Mother.
I think they're all the weak link. I hate that show. Apart from MPH, obviously.
See, I don't really get Neil Patrick Harris.
What don't you get? Just the appeal?
I just don't think he's very funny.
I don't think he's very funny in that.
But, like...
I think he's great, normally.
Well, okay, what would you prefer to watch him in? The Smurfs?
Dr. Horrible?
Well, that's one thing.
Any of the Harold and Kumar movies where he's playing himself?
I've not seen any of them.
Well, I actually really love the Harold and Kumar movies, and I will not make apologies for that.
Well, like, isn't Kumar in How I Met Your Mother, or Harold, or one of them?
I don't know, I don't really watch it.
Yeah,
I have seen
one
it.
Of them. Cal Penn, I think his name is.
Oh, okay.
He's in How I Met Your Mother at the moment.
Fair enough.
I'm not a big sitcom guy. I just started watching The Big Bang Theory as well, and I'm just like, well...
I am over The Big Bang Theory completely. It started off... I started off quite enjoying it, and it just became so... I mean, it's the sitcom format. It's just so boring. It just became so repetitive and samey, and I couldn't be doing with it. It was the same. It was a one-note joke over and over again.
Yeah.
And it got old.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's sort of how I'm feeling about Todd at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, with the two episodes that are essentially the same.
Mm-hmm.
The fat one and the gay one. Are there more of those? Is that essentially the formula? Like...
It is very formulaic, but I would say stick with it, for sure.
Right.
I mean, do you not like the supporting characters? Like, the guidance counselor is amazing, Chris Levins.
I think he's funny, yeah.
His timing is just awesome.
I mean, Jason Mewes just found something where he can play Jason Mewes... and still managed to bring something to the table,
yeah.
Like his character in like Feast or.
Well, he was there because of his name, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, he plays Jason Mewes,
mm.
And that's the joke, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't really know why Jason Mewes is in it. I don't know if there's some kind of connection, because the guy who plays Todd, I think, was in Degrassi. And I know Kevin Smith is obsessed with that, isn't he?
Well, I think Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes were in an episode of Degrassi.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if there's some sort of connection there, because I find it weird that Jason Mewes is just sort of shoehorned in there. But it works.
Well, he's definitely a jobbing actor.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's nothing to say that he shouldn't be in stuff without Kevin Smith.
No, I'm not saying there is. I'm just saying it would surprise me if there wasn't some sort of connection there. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think he's great in that role.
I've got a question for you.
Okay.
In series 2, mm-hmm. does it move away, like, a lot of sort of established, well, a lot of series is like, that are horror based or sci-fi based, sort of start off once with a week and then have some sort of overall plotting as seasons sort of unfold. Mm-hmm. Does season 2 sort of venture into the story arc, or is it more
yes.
just month of the week stuff?
Yes, both, essentially. Yeah, both. There is still some Monster of the Week stuff, but there is a more important, like you say, overarching storyline.
Well, that sounds like it'd be better.
Yeah, I mean, they do touch on that towards the end of this series.
Yeah, I mean, because at the moment, it's like, oh, Todd got the book, and then he was a badass for half an hour or whatever it is. 40 minutes. 22 minutes. But then... And then the book went away, and now everyone else has got the book, and because he had the book for a bit, he has to stop it or whatever. Doesn't really make any sense.
Well,
but
it will, if you persevere with it.
I mean, and I will. So it's
you asked for no spoilers, so I'm not going to elaborate too much.
So it's been cancelled as well.
Yes.
Just after season 2's closed, I guess.
I don't really know the exact term, but it was sort of less of a cancellation and more of the fact that they just didn't renew it. So they kind of let series 2 play out, and then the I think it was the Space Channel, which we don't have over here, they just chose not to renew it. So now they're touting around trying to find somebody else to finance it, I think. So yeah, there's a huge sort of...
Huge, you say?
Well... Huge might be over-egging it a little bit, but there's a lot of love for that show, and I would suggest perhaps not clicking on the fan page if you don't want too many spoilers, actually. But yeah, there's a big kind of fan-led thing where they're trying to get somebody else to pick up the show. Like, there's petitions and...
I mean, that seems to be the case when anything vaguely culty gets cancelled these days.
Yeah, for sure.
Does season 2 end in a way where it would need to come back?
Yes. Or... It is annoyingly cliffhangery, as far as I'm concerned. I want to see more. I don't think that show had played out yet. I think it was getting better steadily, and it still had a lot left in it. So, it is definitely quite annoying that it's been canned.
So, I think you were saying that there's some sort of... petition that people can sign if they want it back.
Yeah, basically you can go to, it's just www.change.org, and then if you browse through petitions, it's Bring Back Todd and the Book of Pure Evil.
Isn't change.org like one of those websites about like cultural and like societal changes based on like the environment and stuff like that?
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that on there. But it's a fan-created petition, and I think their aim is to get 10,000 signatures, and they're at just over 3,000 at the minute, so...
How long ago did it get cancelled?
I don't know, a month or two? So yeah, I'm sure our, I don't know, 4 or 5 handful of listeners might be able to help there.
Hey, if we can't get our listeners to like our fucking Facebook page, then I don't think we can get them to sign a petition.
They are doing now.
Yeah, it's true. We are now at 103 listeners. Not listeners, likes on fucking words.
I'm evading you again. I like to think all of those 103 people listen to us. They don't, but I like to think that they do. I'm a only lying to myself. Yeah, so I don't think there's anything more about that we really need to say, is there?
I'm gonna keep going with it.
Yeah, definitely
and let you know what I think.
Yeah, I'd like to see if it grows on you as well.
I mean, I didn't not like it. I mean, I don't want to make out like I didn't like it. I don't know if I could deal with like another 20 episodes of haha, you're fat jokes or haha, you're gay jokes, and then like 2 seconds of message at the end, like Jason Mewes saying it's okay to be gay.
Is it message because, though? I don't.
Well, like his whole speech about like.
But I think
fat girls.
Well, no, I don't know. The way I see it is that the show doesn't really have a message. They're not. I mean, they're sort of pushing some boundaries, I suppose. But as far as I'm concerned, it's fairly message free. It's just, I mean, aside from the whole just do your thing, whatever. But I mean, it's just a fun show. I don't think there's a massive amount of meaningful subtext there. Maybe there is. Maybe I'm underselling it.
Maybe not.
But yeah, I would definitely say check that out, and definitely you persevere with it. But yeah,
cool. So
read my review and see if that sways you a little bit.
That's over at what, gorepress.com?
Yes. Yes.
See, I said that, making it out like I didn't know. That was for the listeners. See.
That was well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave it 7.5 out of 10. Which for me is pretty generous.
That's high. Yeah. Yeah.
That's like a 9 from anyone else. At least.
Right. We'll go and take a break. But before that, I'll tell you about the contact info. You can email us over at podcast@gorepress.com. Don't forget to like the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/gorecast. And that's about it. So we'll be back after these messages with our discussion on the story of Ricky. Ciao.
Tired of film podcasts where the hosts exist in a constant blissful state of agreement?
I mean, the main characters are two of the dullest main characters I have ever encountered in any film.
Well, you're in luck. Let me introduce you to Chinstroker and Punter. One is an ex-film student with a penchant for David Lynch and art cinema. The other is a man on the street. Listen in perplexed and horrified terror as we tear apart one film a week.
Just really
it's
isn't.
Not visually striking.
No.
Just getting confirmation.
It's just dinging. That's the third time, though. I mean, is this on?
You can find us at chinstrokerversuspunter.podomatic.com. So come and share the victory.
If you could fuck any man in film, who would it be and why?
My answer is Lance Henriksen.
Oh.
He wouldn't tell. He looks like somebody... He looks like somebody who can keep a secret.
Talking about Riccio, the story of Ricky, the 1991 gore Chinese Hong Kong thing.
Yeah.
It's a classic. Well, it's a cult classic. I'd never actually got around to watching it all the way through. It was always something that I would stick on before I went to bed and then end up falling asleep. So yeah, let's talk about this. I will whack you over a quick synopsis. Ricky, he's got superhuman powers for some reason, and he goes to prison because he's got superhuman powers. Basically, he's just there to fuck people's shit up, destroy all the baddies. The prison's run by a bunch of corrupt dickheads who are selling drugs or growing drugs or whatever, and are all a bit flamboyant. And their organs are made of like putty or something. And then it's all being watched over by the evil warden, who may or may not be a Power Rangers villain. And that's about it. Ricky goes in and fucks a load of people's shit up, and then that's the end of the film.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't think there's a lot I can add to that.
I mean, there's not a lot of plot, really.
It's pretty flimsy on plot, for sure.
It's Ricky goes in, punches a load of people, Ricky goes out.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. We always do that after we spoil things. We should work on that.
If you know that a film where the hero is in a prison and probably shouldn't be in there because he's a good guy, then I think it's pretty safe to assume that by the end of the film, he's not going to be in the prison anymore.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Also, best breakout ever.
I don't understand why. Right, the big spoiler here is at the end of the film, after Ricky's killed all the bad dicks, he goes up to the prison wall, punches a hole through it, and then walks out.
Yeah.
Why didn't he do that at the start of the film?
I don't know, crossed my mind as well, funnily enough. Yeah, there's
like,
a
if you
lot
have the power
really
to just
sense.
Punch through a wall and not be in prison anymore, then you don't really need to, like, be whipped around the face with a spanner a bunch of times or buried in a hole in the ground.
No.
Like, none of that needs to happen. You could just punch the wall and walk away.
You could. You could. He should have done, in hindsight, but like,
the only,
it would have been a shorter film.
It would have been a shorter film. The only things I could think of is, if he, maybe it crossed his mind that if he walked out at the beginning, then all the bad prison guys would be after him. But if he walked out at the end, after killing pretty much everyone involved in the prison system, then surely more people would be after him, like the police or something. They'd send him to an even bigger prison with harder wardens.
But he was such a moral guy. Like,
was
he wanted to put everything right. Yeah. Well, I mean, aside from the killing and stuff.
There was a lot of
punching
killing.
Holes through people's torsos. Aside from that, like, he wanted to right all the wrongs in the prison, didn't he? And he did a fairly good job.
I mean, if by righting all the wrongs you just mean killing every bad person in the place.
Well, he didn't really want to kill them. They sort of didn't really give him much choice.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Should we start from the beginning?
Yeah, we probably should.
let's rewind. So, the story of Ricky is a Category 3 film. It's not really a horror, like we said earlier on. Mm-hmm. But it is a gore film. It's caked in pretty poor special effects.
Now, I suppose, yeah.
Well, I mean, they're not poor. They're not bad. They're just obvious.
For the most part, yeah.
It's like that bit in The Thing where he puts the electric current through the blood and you can clearly see that it's like a fake hand, and that's how you know it's going to be the one. But even so, it still gets me every time.
Yeah.
They're all that level of effects. So they're good, they're great, but they're obvious at the same time.
Uh-huh.
But it was the first film to be given a Category 3 for violence rather than sex, which is fair enough, I would say. It's a pretty violent film.
Yeah. Like, I'm not sure if, like, I don't know, my expectations were skewed a little bit because this is sort of, I don't know, 20 years old now.
Yeah.
But obviously when I heard about the fact that people attempted to ban it, like considered one of the most violent films ever to come out of Hong Kong. I don't know if I was expecting it to be more violent or maybe less obviously fake, like you're saying.
I think the problem with this film that I have is that there's slapstick and there's violence.
Yeah.
But they don't really meet.
No.
So there's like all this slapsticky stuff where it's like, oh, that's funny. And then there's all this horrible violence, which is really quite brutal.
Yeah.
And so, like the box that I've got, the DVD that I've got, is the Hong Kong Legends DVD. And that compares it to Brain Dead and Evil Dead 2.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like, the same one I've got.
Like the film, those films, that all like a lot of the violence, 90% of the violence is slapstick violence.
Yeah.
Which makes it easier to swallow. Whereas this film, it's got comedy elements, but the violence is never really funny.
Sometimes I think it is, and I think it's supposed to be. I don't think it's just me.
No, I think it is supposed to be funny, but I don't really see it like. Some of the violence is just horribly brutal. Like the guy that gets a plane, a wood plane, to his face.
Yeah. Like,
there's nothing funny
sort
about
of
that.
The first 10 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's like, I think it's about 7 minutes in, and I just winced, like, ugh.
Yeah.
The punching through the bottom of the dude's jaw, that's an image that I've seen a lot. I think that was in, did you ever used to watch Out There on Channel 5?
I don't think so.
It was like a compilation of trauma clips and like baby cart movie clips.
Mm.
And I'm pretty sure that it had some clips from Ricky in it as well. It was presented by Anna Svenska. And then I think like series 3 might have been presented by Boof.
Okay.
But it was like one of those things that really sort of informed my teen years about these films that I hadn't seen. Because I was mainly into like horror stuff, and like there was not so much internet around then.
No.
So like finding stuff was all about like the Psychotronic Guides and Out There. It was pretty much like my internet.
I sort of miss those days a little bit.
Yeah, like, I mean the world's a bit too small now for my liking.
Yeah, I miss the days when you could just sort of stumble upon a hidden gem of a film without. Sort of going, oh, I'll look that up on IMDb. Oh, it's got a really shit review. Well, I might not bother.
Yeah, I mean, it was all about the video art.
Yeah.
And
oh, God, in the VHS days, absolutely. I miss that.
Yeah, me too. I remember going out one day and just buying, it was Wishmaster 2, Demons 2, and something else on my big box VHS from the Choices video in Wrexham.
Awesome.
And it was great. I think that was about 2000, maybe 2000, but still at school. So, like, when did DVD come around? Like, 98? Was it after that, 2001, maybe?
I was 16 when I bought my first DVD player.
So, 1978, then?
Fuck off. I don't think they've been around that long. Because I remember my dad's friend trying to convince me not to get one. Because he said they would go the same way as mini discs and laser discs.
But I mean, people might mock laser discs, right? But they're fucking highly sought after. Like, if it wasn't for laser discs, then we wouldn't have DVDs.
Are they highly sought after?
Well, not highly.
By a select few people in the world.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Blah blah blah. The DVD video format was first introduced by Toshiba in Japan in November 1996, United States in 1997, Europe in 1998. I think I bought my... I remember the first two DVDs I bought were True Romance and Goodfellas, because they were really cheap in our price.
Oh God, our price. That's gone back a bit.
See, I've already name-checked Choices video and our price.
Does Music Zone get any love?
Well, Music Zone was all about DVDs, though.
Yeah.
In fact, I bought Santa Sandra on VHS from there.
That's why it was awesome. I
used to work in Music Zone in Burnley.
Did you? I used to love that. My friend used to work in there and would occasionally... No, I'm not going to get him in trouble, actually.
I used to probably do the same thing.
Yeah. Many, many DVDs from that place. I have fond memories.
Yeah, me too. remember buying Caddyshack from there. But yeah, I got Santa Sangre on VHS when they were sort of like palming off the last of the VHSs for like 50p or something. It was great.
It makes me sad that you can walk past almost any charity shop these days and just see like bags of VHS left outside that the people at the charity shop can't even be asked to bring inside because they know they can't sell them.
Well, like, if you look at charity
really
shops,
sad.
I go to charity shops quite a lot looking for VHS.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the same shit. There's never anything good.
No, it's always like Titanic and stuff, isn't it?
It is, and there's always like that same New Kids on the Block video that everyone owned in like 1995.
Did they?
I did. I assume everyone else did because I did.
You're just trying to justify it now, aren't you?
I'm not gonna pretend that I don't love New Kids on the Block.
That doesn't surprise me, actually.
I think they're great. Well, they were great. I don't know about now. I've not heard him now. Why are we talking about this?
I don't know. We got a bit sidetracked.
I think that's the most sidetracked we've got in a long time.
Well, we can't even remember where we started.
Oh, it was because of out here, out there.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and this, the punching of the hand and the jaw bit was something that I remember from there. And it always really made me want to watch this film. I'd never got around to it. And then at Fright Fest a couple of years ago, my friend Kevin, who's no longer with us, he gave me his copy of his DVD because he really wanted me to see it. And and that's how I finally got around to owning a copy of Riccio.
And it took you this long to watch it all the way through?
I mean, I've started watching it a few times, but, like, most of the time when I'm really in the mood for something culty, it's pretty late. And so I whack it on, and I'm into it, and then I fall asleep. It's been happening a lot lately. I've been watching, like, episodes of X-Files before I go to bed, and I'm always asleep before, like, anything major happens.
It's just something that I do. I can't sleep with the TV on. I don't know how you can do it. Like, even if it's on standby, I can't sleep because of that weird low hum that emanates from it.
Hmm. Well, I can. Soz. So Riccio, it's kind of like one of those sort of gems in the sort of cult gore Chinese thing, like.
That was quite possibly the worst sentence so far today.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a me, Mario. It's it's one of those films that is really highly regarded in cult.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And it's easy to see why.
Yeah.
But I'm not entirely sure if I fully get it.
I don't think there's a lot to get, is there? It's just really schlocky and sort of awesome.
It is schlocky, and it is pretty awesome.
I really like the
soundtrack. Although all that blowing on leaves stuff I didn't get at all. You can't get two notes out of a leaf. You can get one note. You're allowed one note on a leaf.
Did you watch this film by yourself?
Or... No.
Right, okay. Because I was going to say, I watched this last night with Phil and Rosie before we recorded the new Child's Play Gormantry. And I think it definitely benefits from watching it with people.
Oh, definitely.
Where you can sort of have a laugh while you're watching it.
Yeah.
Because we were laughing our heads off at the Magic Leaf musical thingy bit. Yeah.
And also, why does the leaf sound better than the recorder?
I don't know.
And also, you can't play chords on a recorder.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
And a recorder or a leaf, neither of them sound like a keyboard.
No. I think we're giving this a little bit too much thought, perhaps.
Maybe. I like that one of the things that I liked, it reminded me of Footloose, is when Ricky gets really angry.
The punch dancing out his rage.
Yes.
We said the same thing. He does that twice.
He does.
yeah, we quoted Hot Rod quite a bit.
The one thing that I did notice about this is this was probably the first time, I think we've talked about this before, like, do you know when you watch a film in subtitles or a foreign language film when and you can't really tell if anyone's a good actor or not? Or you can't really tell if anyone's a bad actor.
Yeah.
I think in this, you can definitely tell that essentially every one of the prisoners is a fucking terrible actor.
Yeah.
Especially the ones at the beginning when they're sort of processing Ricky through. Those ones, I really got the impression that they were terrible, terrible actors. And that's probably the first time I've ever noticed that.
I was just never sure if that was supposed to be the case, though, because it's definitely not played straight, is it? I think there are quite a few moments that are supposed to be funny.
Yeah, well, definitely, like...
So...
The guy keeps mincing his eyes, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. So, I mean, is that not intentional, then, that we're not supposed to take them seriously?
Well, I mean, and I think we... I mean, it's probably intentional, but like I say, it's the first time that I ever really knew. I was ever really able to tell that someone was a bad actor in a foreign language film.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, but they definitely were.
They really were. One thing that happened to me while I was watching this was the subtitles stopped working.
Oh.
Where in the first scene where he meets the assistant warden, so I had to watch it dubbed. until the scene where he fights the Yakuza guy.
Oh dear. That's quite a way then.
I think it was about 15 minutes or so.
How was the dubbing?
I mean, it's awful, but I mean, the ADR on the DVD I've got, which is the same one that you've got, is pretty terrible anyway.
Yeah.
So, it's essentially watching it dubbed even with the subtitles.
I suppose.
So, it wasn't too bad. I mean, I could deal with it. It wasn't great at all. All the characters have got different names in the dub than they do in the subtitles.
Confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not even called Ricky, is he?
Is he not? He's called Ricky Ho.
I think his name's like Lick Wong or something.
Well, that's what the original title is, apparently, according to IMDb.
Yeah, that's his actual name. Because that's what they called
Ricky
him.
In the subtitles and in the dub.
Yeah, no, I know. But, like, you could hear them saying it. In the subtitle version.
Yeah.
So I guess... I don't know, Ricky's perhaps just the westernisation.
Maybe it's just them, like, that whole racist thing again. That whole racist thing. Like, I just saw both of them. Like, you know how Godzilla is called Godzilla... And it's because Western people thought when they were saying Godzilla,
yeah,
and they were saying Godzilla,
yeah.
And so if they're saying Lick, it could sound, it could, like Western people could think that they were trying to say Rick.
Yeah. Tiny bit racist, but I definitely agree. That's it could well be it.
Yeah. It's weird. But yeah, that's the thing. Think maybe possibly
one thing I did sort of think about, like, I mean, this was made sort of what, 21 years ago now?
Yeah, I'd say, and about that,
yeah. And one thing that struck me while I was watching it is it looks like it was made at the same time as Beyond Reanimator,
I would definitely agree with that,
which is not me paying Story of Ricky a compliment. That's just how shit Beyond Reanimator looked.
Well, there was a lot more polystyrene headstones in this.
Yeah, did you not think of, like, Garth Marenghi's Dark Place during that scene? I was waiting for the gravestones to wobble in the wind. Yeah, that was not the best.
No. I mean, I can't imagine that this had a massive amount of budget to it.
No, it doesn't look like it did.
No. It was definitely fun. It was definitely, like you say, schlocky as heck.
Yeah. Would you watch it again?
I think I probably would. Not right away.
No.
But I think I could watch it again. There's a lot of laughing by baddies. More laughing by baddies than any other film, I think.
Ever.
Is there a sequel? Oh, is a sequel called Ricky 02? That doesn't make any sense. It came out in 1990. This came out in 1991. What gibberish are you, IMDb?
Is that not comic sequel?
Video, 1990.
What? That can't be possible.
Oh, wait, is this a manga? Maybe it's a manga.
No, it said there was... It was alleged that a sequel titled Inside King was released on video in Hong Kong around 2003 to 2005. However, the plot does not follow the events that supposedly occur after Ricky breaks out of prison and is set in the distant future, as opposed to 2001 for the first film. I don't remember 2001 looking like that.
No, me neither. Was it meant to be 2001? Was there anything in the film that was supposed to imply that it was 2001?
Yeah, at one point. They did mention when it was set.
I think I must have missed that. That might have been in the moments of crossover between, like,
maybe
the subtitles not working and me deciding that I was going to have to put the dub on.
Could be.
We were really confused by the Yakuza guy.
Okay.
Because when the guy takes his shirt off for the first time, I was like, is he supposed to be Yakuza?
Yeah.
And Andy was like, well, I guess so. And then Andy was like, well, isn't this Chinese? Why would there be a Yakuza in a Chinese prison?
I don't think it's a film that is necessarily...
It's definitely a film.
Is it really? I don't think it's a film that's necessarily supposed to make that much sense. I mean, it's there for entertainment purposes. It's there so you can look at all the fake blood and the kind of the cool martial arts and stuff. It's not there so you can.
I mean, the martial arts are great
from,
as well. They're really like some of the best that I've seen in a long time. Although I have been watching a lot of Rudy Ray Moore films lately,
okay.
Where the martial arts are the worst things ever. But.
Maybe it's an unfair comparison then.
Perhaps. But yeah, I think the martial arts are great.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's wire work. I mean, there's not a lot of, like, obvious wire work.
No.
Like wushu stuff. But I always wonder how they do those stunts. I mean, the stunts are great.
Yeah, I don't know. Is there any making of stuff on the DVD?
I didn't look. But maybe. There's definitely some special features.
Wow.
The DVD menu was awful though.
It was really bad. It was
so
90s.
Looks like it was made in like Microsoft Movie Maker, Windows Movie Maker, whatever it's called.
Really? I don't know. I think I could probably have done a better job in like MS Paint knocking that up. That was really bad.
I have a question for you.
Do you?
Yeah, do you know, I don't know if I'm assuming it's got the same name in yours, right? The baddie, the Gang of Four member,
mm-hmm.
White God.
Okay.
Do you know which one I mean?
The one with the blonde bits.
Yes.
At the front of his hair, yeah.
Do you think that he was really ahead of his time? Because that hairstyle didn't come into popularity in my school till like at least 1997.
Maybe.
Did you know people with that hairstyle?
I did, sadly.
I definitely had the curtains when I was like 14.
The McDonald hair.
Yeah, but I didn't have the blonde bits, but a lot of people did.
Yeah, I definitely remember that.
Like,
yeah.
I wonder if he was the first style icon White God.
Maybe that's where it came from, yeah. Maybe somebody picked up on that and it just spread like a really bad haircut shouldn't.
I wonder how many of our listeners have the curtains.
Write in and tell us. Email
on,
us.
Yeah. Email
podcast
us.
At gorepress.com.
We want to know if you had curtains.
And pictures.
And pictures.
Pictures or it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can't think of a lot more I need to say about that, really.
I've got one last thing, really.
Okay.
This is a spoiler.
Okay.
So if you care about spoilers, you should have stopped listening ages ago, but like 5-10 episodes ago. But this is a spoiler, so if you don't want to know about one of the main things about the end, then whatever. But the film tricked me. Mm-hmm. I was convinced that the assistant warden was the corrupt guy, and when the real warden came back, it was going to like ruin everything for the assistant warden, like because of how scared he was.
Right.
About the warden coming back, but obviously that isn't the case.
No, definitely not.
So it tricked me, and I thought that was fun. It was nice that it wasn't as predictable as the rest of the film could have been, or was.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got that as well, but... okay, I'm going to go ahead and sum up and give it a score.
Okay.
Right. It's gory, it's silly, some of the gore is fun, some of the gore is just fucking gross. The plot's not there. It doesn't really...
Well, there is a plot.
I mean, there is.
It's just very, very flimsy.
It really is. Guy goes to prison for some reason, kicks ass, goes out of prison, the end.
Yeah. I mean, that's perfunctory, isn't it? It's just...
Yeah.
It's not about the plot.
There's these flashback scenes that I really don't care about. Like, in a plot so weak... There's no need for this exposition.
No.
Especially not if the exposition is he's always had superpowers, whatever. Then there's just no need for it. A dog gets kicked in half.
Yeah, forgot about that bit.
Someone goes inside a meat grinder. I mean, it's basically...
That bit at the end was very brain dead. I definitely see why that comparison was on the DVD jacket.
Definitely. The guy, the baddie, sort of turns into a Power Rangers villain or a member of GWAD, depending on which way you want to look at it. I would probably give this film like 5.5 out of 10. 6, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, I completely agree with everything that you just said. I don't really think I need to add anything, but I would perhaps go a little bit higher. I think I might give it a 7. Just because I think it's really enjoyable. For sure watch that again. It was a lot of fun.
We managed to do all of this without pronouncing anyone's names badly.
Do you want to throw a few in now?
I think we should just like reel off the cast list just so we can...
Go for it.
So it was directed by Ngai Kai Lam.
Okay.
And written by Tetsuya Sayurawata.
I think we can stop there.
And a bunch of other people. Kai Kuho.
Just you've already filled the bad pronunciation quota right there.
So yeah, that's Rikkyo. We'll be back next week with our
wrap-up.
Yeah, our wrap-up show, including our top 5 prison horror films, which will be really hard to write.
Yeah, wish us luck.
and at least though 3.
Yeah, so. If you can think of more than 3, please email us. Please. We're going to struggle with this.
We'll do all the usual wrap-up show stuff. We'll read out some feedback if we get any. Don't forget to send some over to podcast.gorepress.com. Like
or
us on Facebook.
Or on the Facebook page, yep.
Yeah, or you can write on the podcast page at gorepress.com.
Yep.
There are a million ways to get in touch with us, really.
3.
Well, not a million, 3. Or you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at _dangerous.
Yeah, I'm at Sarah B. Demented.
And I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Sarah's off on her holidays.
I am.
I'm not.
I will try not to gloat.
I'm trying really hard not to end the show on, Hey Ricky. Oh, Ricky.
Don't do it.
I could use a song by the Gang of Four.
Could do.
Because that would sort of work. I don't really know what I'm going to do. But rest assured, there will be a song. At some point, somewhere. So we'll see you all next week for more gore pressing, gore casting, fun
conversations.
Well,
we won't see you.
They might. I we've got so few listeners that I could probably just go around their houses and look in their windows.
So yeah, you've got that to look forward to. Awesome.
So we'll see you next week, or you will hear us next week if you decide to listen.
Bye.
Bye.